to Gammon again. Get back into John in chapter 21 this morning. John in chapter 21. Do hope and pray that you enjoy the song service this morning. Hope and pray that it has served its purpose to prepare your hearts to receive the word with gladness today. That final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, is one of my all-time favorites. Amen. John in chapter 21 is where we are. And a wonderful job this morning in our reading by Brother Andy. Appreciate that. But in verse 15, the Bible says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I want to speak to you this morning on a topic of love, but the question is, what's love got to do with it? And you say, well, that's a carnal title. It may be a carnal title, but as we look here in this passage of Scripture and we see what's going on and we see here as the word love and lovest and all of this is popping out and making its way through so often many a times, we find here that love has something to do with it. And we got a bit of a situation, if you will. At face value, when you read these verses, the conversation, it doesn't seem too convicting. And yet in verse 17, we read that Peter was grieved. He was grieved. You see, here's one thing that I want us to take a note this morning is that in the Greek language, guys, and I'm not trying to Greek your Bible. Don't take that the wrong way, all right? We have the King James Bible, which is perfect and pure, all right? And this is all you need. But I am going to elaborate just a little bit here through a bit of research. In the Greek language, you have three words for love, all right? Whereas we use the word love for anything and everything today. I love my wife, I love pizza, I love Mondays. I mean, we just use the word love at any type of opportunity. In the Greek language, you have the word eros, which is a love that would be between a husband and a wife. They would have one for another. This is a passionate type of intimate type of love. And by the way, it's never used in the Bible. It's never there. Secondly, you have the word the phileo, which is the type of love that friends would have one for another. It means to like or to deeply like or deeply approve or to sanction. It's what a good friend would have toward one another. And then there's the Greek word agapeo or agape as we hear about it. This is that agape love. A sacrificial love. The same word is translated in 1 Corinthians 13 into charity. And Paul says, out of the faith, hope, and charity, charity is the greatest one to have. It's also the same word that's translated in John chapter 15, verse 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, in this conversation in John 21, both of these words are used. And you may wonder why. You may be sitting here this morning, why in the world are both of these words used? Well, we're going to come back to John 21 at the end of our sermon this morning. So in order for us to understand what's going on in John 21, we're going to have to jump around the Scriptures today. I'm going to ask you to use your Bible maybe a little more than you normally will. And what it does, John 21 and the events that are happening right here, they go back to an event where Peter, listen carefully, allowed his person to get the best of him. So we'll end up back in John 21 in our closing, but I want to address the different usages here in a little while. But for the time being, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And I want us to take close note to Peter's promotion. Peter's promotion. Beloved, can I say this to you in the front? As you turn to Mark chapter 1 this morning, there are some people who cannot handle promotion. They just can't. They're not cut out for it. No matter what you invest into them, no matter what you give them, no matter how much you praise them, no matter how much you lift them up or reward them, there are certain people who have a mind that is either lazy or limited, and they simply cannot handle promotion. It is that simple today, beloved. Some people in our society will never be what you want them to be because they're not made for promotion. So in Mark chapter 1, this is what we find, verses 16 and 18. You should be there in your Bibles by now. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 18 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." And this is very important to make a note here, especially a mental note for later on in our message this morning. This is the calling of Peter. He did the right thing. Jesus called him and he came. He left off his fishing. He left off his old life. He left off his old ways and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Mark chapter 3, and you can read this one from the screen this morning, we find in Mark chapter 3 verses 13 through 16, it says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained the 12, okay, he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Now verse 15 says, "And have the power to heal sickness and cast out devils." Now what's verse 16? "And Simon, he surnamed Peter." Now all 12 were ordained unto the ministry, but only 3 did the Lord surname. Okay, the other 2 were James and John, who the Lord surnamed the Sons of Thunder, which is my favorite of all the titles that are given. Amen. So Peter now has left his old life, no more fishing business, no more fishing, and by that the Lord gives him a name of promotion, Simon, which means pebble. Whereas Peter in the Greek language, Petros, means stone or rock. So the Lord gave him a promotion from being just a little pebble to a stone, if you will. Now Peter was part of the inner 3. And this we know, we just read that. But Peter not only got the promotion for getting surnamed, but Peter in the future would also have a higher position. I want to bring your attention to the other thing that happened just a couple of weeks prior to the night in which Jesus was arrested. Turn your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 16 with me. Matthew in chapter 16. I know I'm having you turn quite a bit, not so much of an expository sermon as you're used to here, as you open up to one place and we stay, but we're jumping around getting practice and learning our Bible as to where we need to turn. So I want you to see this. Just a couple of weeks prior to the arrest of Jesus Christ, this happens in Matthew 16. Again, one of my favorite events is they came into Caesarea Philippi there. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, the Bible says that when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The rock, of course, we understand that the church is built upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not Peter, okay? Not Peter at all. But what a blessed compliment that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, gives unto Peter this day. Because Peter's confession was sound, he says, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven." And then on top of that, the Lord turns. So not only does Peter have a promotion in the front end, now he's got a position higher than them all that I'm going to give you. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. No one else has told this position, my friend, promotion, then permission. And then thirdly, we find with Peter, and I want you to notice how his position, affected by his promotion, inflamed his pride. His pride. You say, preacher, this is quite negative. Yeah, it probably is. You see, Peter's intentions, guys, were always sound. His intentions were never, they were never wrong. His intentions were never, deceptive or even necessarily prideful. But we can see how a man, when he is not prepared for promotion, pride can get the better part of him. Turn back to the book of Mark, if you will. And we're going to be in Mark in chapter 14. I want you to see this here. We're going to settle into Mark 14 for just a few moments here. So back in Mark chapter 14, in verse 27, here's the event that we find happening. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting an Old Testament prophecy concerning the crucifixion of the Messiah from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Saith the Lord of hosts, smite this shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. So now let's read on in Mark 14. Look there, Mark 14, verses 28 and 29 in your scriptures. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Now, I want to stop you there for just a second, okay? In your verses, in your Bible, if you back up to verse 27 again, all ye shall be offended of me this night. Okay? Okay? You got that? Now the Lord quotes Zechariah 13:7. And then the Lord goes on to something positive, doesn't he? He said, but after I'm risen. In other words, listen, pay attention here. The Lord says, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. Prophecy has to be fulfilled because the scripture is perfect. So I'm going to go. I'm going to be killed. The sheep are going to be scattered. But after I'm risen, guess what Peter heard? Peter heard one thing. All ye shall be offended. It ain't a licking word he heard after that. I mentioned last week in our message last week about toppers, communication we talked about preaching on Elijah last week. And there are those in the midst of communication that as you're speaking, they're thinking how they can top your story or how they can overrelate with your story. That's what Peter's doing. Do you know where the root of that comes from? Pride. Peter got his position, Peter got his promotion, and then that inflamed his pride. And the Lord says, all of y'all are going to be offended to me. How do I know this? Because an Old Testament prophet, Zechariah, who can't be wrong, has said everyone's going to be offended because I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified, the sheep are going to be scattered. Peter says, nope, not going to happen to me, big boy. I mean, are you getting the picture now? Do you see where we are, why John 21 is so important with the Lord saying, lovest thou me? Lord Jesus Christ, who has not been incorrect about anything in his entire life on earth, much less his 3-year ministry, of which Peter had witnessed every drop of it, now has the audacity to tell the Lord God Almighty, nope, not me, big boy. Nope, not going to happen. All these other clowns, they may get offended, but I'm not going to get offended at all. I'm better than they are because I got promotion, I got position. Oops, now my pride's kicking in. Look, keep reading there, verse 30. Verse 30 says here, and Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now watch this in verse 31. But he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So here's the Lord telling this bird that, listen, not only are you going to be offended at what happens, but big boy, you're going to deny me 3 times before that chicken starts crowing. Before that cock crows. Peter doubled down. And the Bible says that he spake more vehemently, which means over and above, more than necessary. I mean, he's been out of shape. No way, no how. It won't happen to me. I'm not going to get offended, and I'm definitely not going to. Matter of fact, I'll die with you before I deny you. That's what Peter's saying. So back at the event where Peter's position was made known over in Matthew 16. So in Matthew 16, what we find here is that we see that Peter's position was made known, which would eventually inflame his pride in his promotion in the very place where Peter should have learned a lesson about arguing with the Savior. And he didn't in Matthew 16. Remember the Lord said, I want to give you the keys to the kingdom. Remember that? Well, as we read on in Matthew 16 now, I think you could probably read this one from the screen if you'd like. In verse 20, it says, then charged he his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, here's that same subject, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. So stop just for a second. First off, Peter's vehemently arguing with the Lord, okay, the night he's going to be betrayed. The night he's going to be arrested. 2 weeks prior to this, roughly 2 weeks prior to this, essentially the same conversation is happening. Essentially the same thing is happening right here. The Lord starts to reveal that I'm going to suffer many things in the hands of the Jews. I got to suffer. I got to die. This is what has to happen. And Peter said, Peter just got complimented. I mean, he had the correct answer of who Jesus Christ was. He was given a position higher than everyone else. And yet, what does he do? 5 seconds later, possibly, he starts arguing with Jesus. And what's the result of it? Jesus calls him Satan and said he's carnal. And yet 2 weeks later, the same thing's happening. I'm not going to deny you. I'll die with you before I die. I deny you. Promotion, my friend. Position. And pride. Now, we know how it plays out. This is what you've heard thus far this morning. This is the backstory of John 21 where we opened. Peter denied Jesus Christ. This we know. Matthew in chapter 26 tells us there, it says in verse 74, and then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. As a result of that denial, he loses his discipleship. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the Garden Tomb, Mary was told, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth unto goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he had said before. Did you catch that? Go tell his disciples and Peter. I mean, that's strong. There's a load of things happening here, guys. And it's quite much to take on, in all honesty. Peter had argued with the Lord Jesus Christ. His promotion, his position, his pride got the best of him. He didn't learn a lesson in Caesarea Philippi when the Lord called him Satan and said that he was acting carnal. 2 weeks later, the very night he's betrayed, the Lord's trying to tell him, this is what's going to happen. Peter's not listening. Nope, I'm better. It ain't going to happen. I'm better than everyone else. I'm not going to get offended. I'll die with you before I ever deny you. And the end of the result is that he denies him. He leaves bitterly, weeps bitterly. And then now we find he's lost his discipleship. So you go back to John 21 with me, if you want to. John 21. And we'll pick up where we started to kind of answer some of these questions. Notice with me what you find in John 21, that the Lord is referring to him as Simon, not Peter. Later on in our text verses, we find him, he'll call him Simon. But the author, John, refers to him as Simon Peter. But the Lord refers to him with his old name. Why do you think that? You see, a week after Jesus showed himself a second time to his disciples, Peter is not mentioned saying anything, which is a very rare thing to happen. Peter is always piping off. But these two visitations by the Lord, we don't hear Peter saying a word until John 21, verse 3. The Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Brother, can I draw your attention to this point here? And I want you to have in the back of your mind that when Jesus is speaking to Peter in our text verses tonight or today, he's calling him Simon, little pebble. Peter hadn't fished in 3 years, not business-wise. But now, after denying the Lord 3 times, after losing his discipleship, he goes back to his old life. He goes back to his old ways. He goes back to his old work. I wonder how many of us, when we've dropped the ball, when we've acted a fool, when we've done something stupid, anti-scriptural, we start looking back to the old life, the old ways. When someone's not ready for a promotion, when someone can't handle a position, pride gets the better part of them, they'll always revert back to who they used to be. The drunk will go back to the alcohol. The drug user will go back to the drugs. The pornographer will go back to the porn. The pervert will go back to the perversions. The promiscuous will go back to promiscuity. The brawler will go back to violence. When we do not take on board what Christ has done for us and understand about this love that Jesus Christ was pegging Peter about, if you can't handle the promotion and the position, you'll go back because of your pride. And that's what Peter's done. Now I'm going to sum the story up here. We're going to get into our John 21 to be done. But the Lord shows up while those men are fishing. And he says, cast the net on the right side. They catch 153 fish. We know that. And when John leans over and says, it's the Lord, Peter grabs his coat because he was naked. He was ashamed. He jumped into the water. They went to the seaside there on the shore. They had him a nice little dinner. And we pick up back in our opening verses here in John 21. So turn there in your Bibles in John 21. I suggest if you have a pencil available, you may want to have that here in just a moment. So when we go back to John 21 and Peter again, and the Lord's referring to him as Simon instead of Peter because he's acting like his old self. John 21, verse 15 and 17, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, and that's John writing that, but here's the words of Christ, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, little pebble, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, hey, little pebble, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So remember the two types of words that are used in the Greek language that we mentioned earlier. The two words that are used to depict love. Phileo, which is a, hey man, I like you a whole lot. You know, I approve you. And then you have agape, which is a sacrificial love. That's the love that Jesus Christ had for us on the cross of Calvary. So if you can read this from the screen, I suggest you make notes on your Bible. So I mentioned earlier that both words are used in this conversation. I want you to watch what happens. And keep in mind what Peter has already done. Hey, you know what, Peter? Listen, he goes, I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to suffer many things. Nope, not going to happen. No, you ain't not going to happen. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savest not the things of God, but the things of men. You're carnal. And then of the days betrayed, he says, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to have to go. The shepherd's got to be smitten according to Zechariah 13, verse 7. This has got to happen. But after I arise, Peter's over there, works it up in his mind. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to be. Everybody else is going to be offended, but I'm better than they are. I'm not going to be offended. Okay, that was his reaction. Always like that. Quick to speak, slow to think. And yet now we have some questions coming. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Aljonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know what the Lord is using here? This word here, lovest, is agape. Do you love me? Are you willing to sacrifice for me more than any of these right here? Greater love hath no man than this, and than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to sacrifice to me? Love me more than the rest of these. And what's Peter's answer? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. Yea, Lord, you know I like you. Lord, you know I approve of everything you've done. You know, in the back of Peter's mind, he's going back to Caesarea Philippi when he said, not going to happen, Lord. He's going back to that a couple weeks prior to that when that arrest happened, you know what I'm saying? On the night when he says, I'm not going to deny you. Peter says, I ain't getting caught up in this again. No, sir. There's a reason why. He saith unto him, feed my lambs, verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agapeo. You love me sacrificially. Peter's answer is, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Phileo. I like you, Lord. You know that I just like you. You know that I'm at the current moment, I'm not sacrificial ready. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, watch this, son of thou Jonas, lovest thou me? Guess what word the Lord uses now? Phileo. Two times the Lord had asked Peter, do you love me sacrificially? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you likably. So the third time the Lord says, Phileo, you sanction me, you approve me. Do you like me a whole lot? This is why Peter was grieved. Because the Lord now had changed his language toward Peter because he knows all things. Peter was grieved because he asked him a third time, lovest Phileo, thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I Phileo thee. Lord said, just get to work, man. You see, now we see Peter grieve. Now we see Peter had learned a lesson. Now we see that the Lord had asked him the question. Hey, if the Lord would have asked him this question back on the night he would have rested, you know what Peter would have said? You better believe I agape thee. Yes, sir, I'll give my life up for you, most certainly. If the Lord would have asked Peter this question back in Caesarea Philippi, he would have said, absolutely, I love you. I'll love you more than these. I'll give my life. I most certainly will. But now Peter, grieving, can only say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord turned to the tables by using Phileo on the third time. He had to make Peter admit that the Lord knows all things. And Peter now has to admit and confess to the Lord that I just like you a whole lot. I like you deeply, but not sacrificially. Not yet. You see, guys, he may have said the words back in Matthew 16. He may have had the full intentions back in Mark 14. But now the truth was out. The truth is that, Lord, I just like you a whole lot. I like you deeply. You know I'm fond of you. My heart isn't there. It's not where it should be. My love is only a phileo love right now. It's not an agape love. So what's love got to do with it, beloved? I'll tell you what love's got to do with it. Everything. Because the question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter is exactly what we need to ask ourselves today. What type of love do we have for our Lord today? Do we just have the approval of Him? Are we just fond of Jesus? Do we just like Him when we need Him or want Him? Or do we love Him sacrificially? Do we love Him enough to not put anything in front of Him? Do we love our Lord Jesus Christ enough that when we sit down and our calendar is worked, it's worked around the Lord? You see, guys, I've said this time and time again, and I know people probably get tired of it. But church should be the reason you miss other things, not missing church for every other stuff. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else comes second. From church, to tithe, to giving, to praying, to witnessing, to getting out in the community, making a difference amongst this world. Everything else comes second. Otherwise, when the Lord looks down and he says, "Lovest thou me?" You got to admit, "Lord, you know, I'm just fond of you. I like you when it's convenient for me to be in the house of God on Sunday. I like it when I'm not tired, you know, and this and that on a Wednesday. If, you know, I know I've been working all day. And when it fits into my schedule, Lord, you know I like you a whole lot." It's not what the Lord's looking for, my friend. He gave us the example of what he's looking for. He had a love that was sacrificial for you and I. He had a love that was sacrificial for us that has in turn given us eternal life. So I ask you this question again this morning. What does love have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. Will you bow your heads? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us, for all you've done for this morning. I pray that our hearts and our minds, Lord, are attentive unto the word today. And I pray this morning that as rather than departing church this morning unmoved, let us depart church today willing and ready to make changes in our life, that we may be able to answer that question with agape as opposed to phileo, so that we may understand in our life that we put you first and foremost no matter what. Father, we love you and we thank you for who and what you are. We ask of you now to please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Guide us into the right way throughout the rest of the day, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen.